Stand by for Veterans News. And if you've listened to the previous Veterans News segments, you'll know that we've been working with the Veterans of Modern Warfare. And last time, 2 weeks ago on our program, I read you some sections for the recommendations that the organization Veterans of Modern Warfare is proposing to the Veterans Administration and to Congress. They're primarily a lobbying organization. But they're working for you veterans out there to see that the benefits that you're due get to you, that they're funded and they're distributed equitably amongst male and female, rural and urban dwellers, and so on. I'm going to continue with a couple of more sections from the white paper from Veterans of Modern Warfare, and you can see these proposals for yourself if you go to their website, which is vmwusa.org. That's vmwusa.org, and you can find their position papers. Today I'm going to talk about a couple of sections in their position papers, a general overview on health care, veterans health care, their recommendations, and here's what VMW says about the overall construct of veterans' health care. We oppose outsourcing in any and all attempts for the wholesale contracting out of veteran health care, to include the current trend towards staffing the CBOCs via private providers. I hope you veterans know what CBOCs are. I don't. We advocate for a new VHA regulation and funding to enable the CBOCs to provide physical and psychological acute care services. We are committed to requiring VHA to conduct a National Gulf War Veterans Longitudinal Study on the physical and mental health of Gulf War veterans. That's really important, especially the longitudinal study. So far, it's just been case by case. Without any follow-up or any appreciable follow-up. To go back to their position, we are committed to advancing and protecting the rights of women veterans in obtaining gender-based physical and psychological inpatient and outpatient VA care. And we will ask Congress to fund all Priority 8 veterans for enrollment into the VA health care system, simply increasing the means test income levels for health care eligibility by 10% will not include them all. So those are the general considerations of Veterans of Modern Warfare on veterans' health care issues in general. And they've included another section that I want to bring your attention to, and that is a section on employment, training, and business opportunities. And this is something that that veterans have been concerned about a lot, coming back without any connections, without any continuing connections in the business or employment fields. They're often at loose ends as to where to go and what to do. And so this attempts to address that. VMW says, we will seek to ensure that all provisions of executive orders and public laws pertaining to the employment, training, and business opportunities for all veterans, especially service-disabled veterans, be enforced, and that any attempts to weaken the provisions or failure to fulfill the intent of the law should result in appropriate sanctions. We will strive to strengthen veterans' preference laws, focusing on better implementation by and accountability of managers. Proactive reviews of federal recruitment, hiring, and retention practices and patterns should be mandated. We will seek the federalization of all disabled veterans outreach programs and local veterans outreach programs to ensure maximum effectiveness and proper implementation of veteran employment laws. VMW calls for the creation of the Veterans Economic Independence Administration as a fourth division within the VA to be headed by an undersecretary that would consolidate various currently separate programs that assist veterans to obtain and sustain meaningful work or training or education that will lead to a decent job at a living wage, including the Vocational Rehabilitation Service, the Veterans Education Service, an enhanced and expanded Center for Veterans Enterprise, and functional control, if not outright transfer, of the Veterans Employment and Training Service and newly federalized DVOP and LVER positions. So those are what the veterans of modern warfare would like to see regarding getting veterans educated, rehabilitated, trained, and hooked up with business and employment opportunities when they return to civilian life. And finally, the last thing that I wanted to bring to your attention was the VMW's call for a new 21st century GI Bill. And they say, we will seek to ensure that all provisions of the 21st century new GI Bill are implemented and that public institutions of higher education that participate, students that and applicable family members receive the benefits by August 1st, 2009. Let me know if you've received those. We will seek legislation to establish vet centers on the campuses of our nation's colleges and universities. That's good news. Which will provide access to professional services, resources, and support systems, ensuring our veterans succeed in their academic endeavors. We will seek federal support for veteran upward bound programs. This will help ensure that all veterans have the opportunity to gain entry to the public school of their choice and have the skills and abilities necessary to succeed. So that's...
Jerry, while we're still on that subject, it's kind of interesting that they're stressing GI benefits. And you know, I bet you if there's any younger listeners, let's say younger than 30 or 40 years old, and there was a time when 40 years old wasn't young, I guess, but you know, let's say younger listeners, they may not be aware of how generous the veteran GI benefits have been in the past.
Right. And they're about half of that now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking of my dad's generation, you know, coming back from World War II and then even Korea. I mean, it was just a fabulous opportunity for these returning veterans to buy homes, buy cars, buy...
Absolutely,
you know,
and it was a big boost to the economy, too.
It was a huge boost to the economy, and the Vietnam War. I mean, that, of course, we're both really familiar with what happened there, but I mean, how many, many, many young people were drafted into that war, came home, and had the opportunity to go to college they wouldn't have otherwise had by the GI Bill. I mean, it paid all their expenses. I mean, forget not just tuition, not just books, but I mean, room and board. It was really a very generous program.
It was indeed a generous program. Well, thanks, Steve, and that concludes Veterans News for August 30th, 2009. Tune in a couple of weeks from now, and we'll have another edition of Veterans News.